Stop! 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 That way, if they're recording this, I sounded humble. I sounded humble. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. A while back, we were studying this in our family devotions, and for some reason, I took to calling it Genesis. Drove my wife nuts. So after I found out that it drove my wife nuts, I started referring to it as Genesis all the time. So then I started referring it to it as Genesis in our church. And they laughed because they understand my mental retardation. But then I went out and preached somewhere else and said, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis. And they're like, man, this kid can't even read. Genesis chapter 39 this morning. Genesis chapter 39. We're going to begin reading in verse number 5. Genesis chapter 39 and verse number 5. Again, it's a privilege to be here. I hope you're awake and alert that we'll listen on purpose today and we'll glean some truths from the Word of God. Genesis chapter 39, begin reading in verse number 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house. It's referring to Joseph now in the house of Potiphar. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wonteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to mine hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. It came to pass that when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought into us came in unto me to mock me. It came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. It came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. I'd like to preach to you this morning, and it'll really kind of cross over between preaching and teaching, about the benefits of a life of purity. The benefits of a life of purity. Lord, I thank you once again for the opportunity to preach. And Lord, I thank you for all these young men that are here. Lord, the difference that could be made in eternity, the difference, Lord, in our country, the difference in churches and in families, Lord, that these young men could make is incalculable by anyone but you. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help these truths to sink in and soak in, and that, Lord, we would be made better by them. Lord, I ask you to help me not only to preach this, but to live this. Lord, no one is immune. No one, Lord, gets a free pass. No one has it easy. Lord, there's just certain things that we all must face. So I ask, Lord, again, that you'd help us today. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I love donuts. I'm convinced if you go back into the children of Israel in Exodus and their wanderings, if you do a study on the word manna in the Hebrew, it means chocolate donuts. I don't think that's accurate, but nonetheless, that's where we're at. So to illustrate that this morning, I have brought with me a donut. The truth is, I bought more than one because I'm going to eat the others later. So I've got a donut here. Now, imagine, I understand that one donut probably is not going to make the deciding factor in my life. But imagine today I am faced with a dilemma. I have two choices. I would like to lose weight, but I would also like the donut. Come on now. Now, most of us maybe aren't that concerned with weight, but as you get older, you will, and as you get a wife, you will. She'll make sure you're concerned about your weight and what you eat, and if your shirt's tucked in, and if you've got spots on your face and on your... Anyhow, that's a whole other story. So I have a decision to make as to whether or not I want the donut or I want to lose weight. But here is the fact. I can't have both. I can't have both. What I really want in my flesh is both. And by that I mean both donuts, this one and the one still in the pulpit. I want both. I really do. I want to eat donuts every day, all day. I wish I lived next to a Krispy Kreme. I wish I lived next to Dunkin' Donuts. I wish I lived next to Daylight Donuts. I wish I lived next to Lamar Donuts. I love donuts. I also wish I had six-pack abs. I also wish I had a full head of hair, both of which I'm realizing probably are never going to happen. But one thing is irrefutably true. I cannot have both. I cannot have the donut and the healthy lifestyle on the other side. I cannot have both. Now, it's an exaggeration again this morning because thankfully one donut's not going to kill my physique because I've already had a couple and look at this physique. You guys are really tired this morning. You're not helping me out much. When it comes to the area of purity in our lives, the question is not, what do I want? Because the truth is, we would love to have a pure life, but we would also love to indulge in the immoral. You say, Pastor, I don't want to indulge in that. Then you're different from any man that I know. Because our natural flesh craves after those things. We want a pure life. We want the immoral life. We want both. The question is not, what does God want? God's word is very evident in what he wants. Flee fornication, the Bible says. Every sin that a man committeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. It's very clear what God wants. 1 Corinthians 7:1, moreover, concerning the things you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. It's very clear what God wants. The question is not, do we want both? The question is not what God wants. The question this morning is this: what do we want most? The question is not, do I want the donut or do I want the physique? The question is, what do I want most? The question when it comes to the moral is not whether or not I want this or that. The question is, what do I want most? In our text this morning, Joseph has been sold by his brothers into slavery. He's lived a good life, morally speaking, humanly speaking. He's been sold into slavery by his brothers. He gets down and he's passed around from several different people, and he ends up in the home and in the house of Potiphar. According to our text, not long after he's there, he's elevated in the home of Potiphar, and it's that position of authority and that position of respect and his very character itself that drew Potiphar's wife to him and drew her lustful looks towards him. We read in our text how she began to pursue him. And the majority of the message this morning I want to be how Joseph successfully rebuffed her. But in the beginning, I just want to set a few things up, just a few simple truths about our text today. First of all, Joseph was tempted while he was doing right. Joseph was tempted while he was doing right. You don't have to be in the wrong place to be tempted. Now, if you are in the wrong place, you will be tempted. But you don't have to be in the wrong place to be tempted with the immoral. You can be right here at YouthCon in the right place and still be tempted. You go, well, the temptation is a sin. That's not true. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. The sin is not the temptation. The sin is giving into the temptation. Not only was he tempted while he was doing right, but it all started very simply. Notice again in the text in verse number 7 that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, "Lie with me." Most of sexual temptation starts off pretty innocuous. Innocuous is a big, huge word at 9:30 in the morning when you're tired. Understand that. What it means basically is it starts off pretty simple. It starts off pretty innocent. We learned last night and we looked last night, Hophni and Phinehas didn't start off doing what they were doing on the steps of the tabernacle. There was incremental steps. It starts often with the eyes, just as it did for Potiphar's wife. It starts with the eyes. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Mine eye affecteth mine heart, Jeremiah said in Lamentations. Watch what you watch. And then it goes from his eyes, from her eyes, and then to her speech. And Joseph, eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." A lot of sexual situations unravel quickly because they were talked about. Guys, be careful what you talk about. In Proverbs 5, 3 and 4, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." Proverbs 6:24, "To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." Proverbs 7:21, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him." 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." The young lady says a few things in a few lines, and man, our chest swells up and our eyes brighten up, and we're like, yeah, she's got good taste. When she begins to talk and to flirt, and let me just throw this out there, if she's good at flirting, it's because she's had a lot of practice. All right, let's do this. Everybody sit up straight. Everybody clap. One more time. Now like this, now close your hands. All right, now let's try this again. Let's wake up here this morning. If she's good at flirting, it's because she's had lots of practice. With her much fair speech, the Bible says, she caused him to yield. What are you looking at on Facebook? What are you talking about in the hallways? Texting, or sexting as it's known, is becoming rampant, and more people are doing it. And by the way, that doesn't make it right. That means it's even more destructive. Thirdly, it was a daily pressure. Notice, if you will, in verse number 10, "And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day." Guys, the temptations and manners of the pure and the physical are not going away. They're not going away. A while back, a friend of mine was talking to a fairly well-known preacher. He was in his late 80s, and the young preacher said to the older preacher, he said, "When will I not have to worry about my eyes? When will I not have to worry about temptation? When do you quit having to fight those battles in your head?" And the preacher said, he's 80-something years old, he says, "I don't know. When I get there, I'll let you know." It's never going away. Guys, we better learn how to deal with the temptations and live with the temptations and live with our flesh, because it's never going away until we get to heaven. You go, "Well, someday I'm going to get married. Praise the Lord. I hope you do." But even then, just because there is an outlet for it, it does not mean that it will alleviate all of the pressures and all of the temptations and all of the desires that are there. God has to help you with that. And by the grace of God, we need to learn how to deal with it, or it'll cause us problems the rest of our lives. I'd like to really focus this morning on how it was that Joseph was able to stay pure. Imagine, one of the most beautiful women in all the world, and Potiphar's wife, is coming on to Joseph and pursuing him and chasing after him. How was Joseph as a young man, at this time maybe 17 to 20 years of age, how was he able to rebuff her and to stay pure, and the benefits of the pure life? First of all, Joseph focused on what he could do and not on what he couldn't do. Notice, if you will, in verse number 8, But he refused and said unto his master's wife. So she says, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and hath committed all that he hath to mine hand. There is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me, because thou art his wife. Joseph, first of all, focused on what he could do instead of what he could not do. Most of the time, you know what we think about Christianity and we think about our youth group is we think about all of the rules and all of the things that we cannot do. I virtually guarantee you that the majority of us in this room, when we got the packet for Youth Con, we opened it up when we turned to the rules and we went, oh, no shorts? That stinks. Come on now, let's be honest. How many of you didn't like the rule, pastors excluded, didn't like the rule, no shorts? Some of you are like, I ain't raising my hand. You're going to kick me out. No. We don't like the rule. You know what we do if we're not careful? We focus on a rule we don't like instead of focusing on what we get to do. You get to go to Frontier City this afternoon. You're like, well, you know, it's not the coolest thing in the world. It beats Pokemon Go. Okay? It's an actual event. There are real life people doing real life things, not chasing imaginary Pikemons or whatever they're called. By the way, don't correct me. That just reveals you're a nerd. Okay, that was extra biblical, but at least we're awake. At least we're awake. We get to go tonight to a water park. I love water parks. I can't go because people are immodestly dressed. I get to go to a water park tonight. I am so thrilled about that. My ultimate dream is during the millennial reign to run a water park out of Yankee Stadium in New York City. That's what I'm hoping to do. That's like the focus of my existence. Last year, I got the call from Brother Bailey, and he said, would you preach Youth Con? I said, man, yes, I'd love to preach Youth Con. And so I'm talking to my wife, and I go, babe, I get to preach Youth Con. She goes, at Heartland? I said, yeah, they're at Southwest. And she goes, are they going to the water park? Because she's just like me. She's not concerned about the preaching. She's carnal. She wants to go to the water park. We went to Main Event last night and all the cool things that are there and funnel cake and all the food and we get to interact and there's air. There's so much we get to do and yet some are going, man, it stinks. You can't wear shorts. Quit focusing on what you can't do and focus on what you can do in Christ. Do you realize that Christ and the rules of the Bible are really not that oppressive or they're really not that strict at all? Praise the Lord, in Christ, we get to show our fashion sense. Like, whoa, what do you mean fashion sense? I mean, some of you get to comb your hair however you want to. You comb it forward, you split it side, you do the faux hawk, you do the mohawk, you do all the different hawks. I go, done. We have freedom in Christ. You have freedom to show your style in the clothes that you wear. I noticed this morning I was talking to a young man. He's got a belt buckle that duels as a shield. It's huge. It's like that big. Later on this afternoon when we get Chick-fil-A, he's going to flip it over and use it as a plate. If he has to in a fight, he can take off his belt and use it as an instrument of cruelty. It's awesome. You go, well, I don't want to wear that. You don't have to. You don't have to. We're free in Christ. If you don't want to wear that, you don't have to wear that. If you want to wear a little sissy brown belt, you can wear a sissy brown belt if you want to. From the beginning of time, the devil has gotten people to focus on what they couldn't do instead of what they could do. The Garden of Eden. Jesus said, God said to Adam and Eve, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, except for the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. You can't eat of it. And the devil comes along and goes, why can't we eat that one? You know what would have been a great response? Why do I have to worry about the one I can't when there are so many other things that I can? And the devil would love for you to focus this morning on what you can't do and what you can't have and all of the rules and the do's and the don'ts. And I'm telling you, one of the greatest ways to stay pure and to stay right is to focus on what you can do and what we're allowed by God to do and what we're allowed by God to enjoy. I'm grateful this morning I'm not Muslim. No. I'm grateful my wife doesn't have to walk around in that Habib thing and the little hat and the full robe. Come on now. I'm grateful she can show some style. I'm grateful that I don't have to dress like that and act like that. I'm grateful. Listen. I'm grateful that as I pursued my wife and I got her father's blessing and we began to interact with one another, that I could flirt with her. And then when she flirted back, she was horrible because she hadn't had practice. I taught her. It was great. Guys, we have freedom in Christ. Don't get so wrapped up. By the way, when you start thinking of all the rules and all the negatives and all the things of that nature, that's one of the instruments of the devil where he's trying to draw you away. Even in members of the opposite sex in our dealings with them, we can talk with them. We can laugh with them. We can interact with them. We can enjoy their presence. I'm grateful that girls are different than guys. They smell better than you. This morning, my wife goes, most of those boys will not have showered yesterday. And there's going to be about 800 of them stuck in one room with you. Good luck with that. She doesn't flirt well, but she is a good smart aleck. Number one, he focused on what he could do, not on what he couldn't do. Number two, he called the sin what it was instead of minimizing it. Notice in verse number 9, the end, he says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How then can I do this great wickedness? You know, one of the dangers of our Christian life and the dangers in the realm of the purity is when we begin to minimize its impact and we begin to minimize its effect and we begin to minimize how it's going to impact our life. They didn't say, well, Joseph didn't go, well, you know, I mean, she's lost and she's the wife of a lost man. So it's really not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal if we just flirt. It's not that big a deal if we just talk about it. It's not that big a deal if we just sort of engaged in harmless flirtation. And I've heard the sayings my whole life, it's okay to window shop. You don't have to buy. No, it's not okay to window shop. It's not okay to flirt. It's not okay to play footsies with sin. It's not okay to fool around with someone else's wife. You go, Pastor, I'm 16 years old. I'm not messing around with someone else's wife. So you're going to marry that girl? Hold on. You're going to marry that girl? You know that right now at 16? You realize there's a good chance that 10 years from now, you'll walk into a room and she'll be standing next to her husband and you will be racked with the guilt of what you did? Let's not minimize this. Let's not minimize this. You go, well, I don't think it's that big a deal. It will be if it's another guy and your wife. Right now, your wife may be flirting with some other guy. Right now, your wife may be being physical with some other guy. How's that make you feel this morning? Let me throw this out there. Then don't be that other guy. As a man sows, that shall he also reap. He didn't minimize it. He said, how can I do this thing? This great wickedness. He called it great wickedness. A recent poll in Christian magazine, forgive me, I don't know the exact name of Christian publication it was. I believe it was 71% of Christian young people said viewing pornography was normal. 71% of Christian young people said that viewing pornography was normal. No, it's wicked. No, it's wicked. Well, we're just making out. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. You go, well, but Pastor, we're not going to go all the way. You have no idea. You have no idea how far you're going to go. Most folks don't plan on going all the way that mess up. Every young person, every young lady I've ever talked to that's lost her virtue, lost her virginity, has never told me, oh yeah, we planned it. No, they got involved in a situation and got going and didn't stop, and it went too far the moment it started, and it hurt them irreparably. Number one, he focused on what he could do instead of what he couldn't do. Number two, he called it what it was. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 22, the Bible says, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not it is for his life. Young man, this is your life. It's not premarital sex, it's fornication. It's not fooling around, it's fornication. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's an abomination. Call it what it is. Thirdly, Joseph understood that by participating in this, he was fighting against God. In verse number 9, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph knew his sin was not just against Potiphar. It was not just against Potiphar's wife. It was not just against his future wife. His sin was against God. Julian, come here a second, please. And Scott, come here a second. Julian, Scott, Julian, you guys know each other? You ought to be more friendly, man. Get around. Okay. If you were to walk by a basketball court and Julian and Scott were playing basketball and Julian turns to Scott and says, "You're stupid and I hate you." Go ahead, Julian. Tell Scott. Now I'm getting volunteers. Lots of people want to tell Scott he's stupid and that they hate him. Say it like a man. Say it like you mean it. You're stupid and I hate you. I said like a man, not like a hillbilly. There's something about having a hillbilly drawl that even when you're being mean still sounds nice. I hate you. But you bring a smile to my face as you say it. Now, if you're walking by and you saw Julian say that to Scott, would you not? That would catch your attention, would it not? You'd be like, fight. Yeah, okay. No, we'd be like, man, it's about to go down. Okay, thank you, Scott. You can be seated. Now, what if Julian wasn't saying that to Scott? What if you walked by and Julian was screaming that at me? I know you don't mean it. Go ahead.
You're stupid, I hate you.
What if he was yelling at Brother Inman? Would our reaction not totally change? Because, I mean, we all understand why he hates Scott. But if he's saying it to the authority, if he's saying it to his dad, I know his dad would kill him. Anyhow. If he's saying it to the authority of the room, we'd all be like, oh my goodness, did you see that? We'd be scared to death. Thank you, Julian, you may be seated. Joseph said, if I do this great wickedness, I'm sinning against God. I am not violating that young lady. I'm not violating her future husband. I'm not even wronging my future spouse. What I'm really doing is I'm sinning against God. If I told you you're stupid and I hate you, you'd be offended by that. But if I shook my hand at God and I said something like that to him, we'd all be scared to death. Do you understand when you know something is wrong? And if you're here this morning and you're a born-again child of God, and you've been brought up in church at all, you know the physical is wrong. You know what the Bible has to say about that. And when you intentionally, deliberately step over that line and do it anyhow, what you are doing is you are fighting against God. David said in Psalm 51, when he finally got his life right, he said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this great wickedness." In Psalm 51, verse 4, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight." Number 4, Joseph was able to get away because he stayed out of the way. Verse number 10, "And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her." Now listen, he hearkened not unto her. He didn't listen to her. He didn't lie by her. He wasn't with her. David, or Joseph, stayed plumb out of the way. He didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to be around it. You're not strong this morning because you can resist temptation. You're strong because you stay away from it. You're not strong because you can resist temptation. You're strong because you can stay away from it. Years ago, there was a young man and a young lady that had been a member of our youth department. They had grown. They were out of it because of their age. Word got back to me that he had moved into her house. And so I was talking to them. They were still coming to church, and I brought them in my office, and I was talking to them, and I said, what's going on? And I've heard this. I want to make sure I go right to the source. And is this true? And yes, it's true. And the girl quickly piped up. She goes, but nothing's going on. I said, you're staying in the same house. Yes. Nothing's going on. Nothing's going on. Where does he sleep? In my room. He stays in your house, in your room, but nothing's going on. Yes, nothing. Nothing's going on. Nothing is going on. Nothing is going on. I said, that young man right there is staying in your house, in your room, and you're telling me nothing's going on. She goes, yeah, nothing's going on. I said, well, you need to get rid of him. He's gay. She goes, what? I said, you need to get rid of him. He's gay. He goes, I am not gay. I touch her all the time. Men, if you can get in a dark place with a girl that you like and likes you by yourselves and not touch her, that's a sign something's wrong with you. So I am very clear on this, and don't get in trouble. Stay out of those situations. Stay out of those situations. Your body, your mind is not designed to get in those situations and handle it. God has equipped you with a mind and the Holy Spirit of God to stay out of those situations. He stayed plumb away. He didn't hang out with her in the house. He didn't flirt with her. He didn't communicate with her. He put a distance of time and space between them. He did everything that he possibly could. Hey, look, if you've got that girl in your youth department, stay away from her. Stay away from her. Well, I want to be friendly. Let someone else be friendly. Let someone else be friendly. Stay plumb away. If you know in particular you like a girl and your feelings towards her are strong and there seems to be a mutual interaction and it's not appropriate, it's not of an appropriate nature, it's not in the right time, it hasn't gone through the right channels, then stay away. Don't play that game. Quit playing footsies with the world. Hear me this morning. If you've got a cell phone, you've got a smartphone, you need to take extra precautions with that. You probably ought not to even have a smartphone. You go, well, you do. I also have accountability software on this. Every website that I go to, my dad, my best friend, and my wife get an email of every website I go to on this phone. You go, what's that do? Well, when I'm tempted to go someplace I'm not, I imagine my wife getting that email. When I'm tempted to go someplace I'm not, I imagine my dad getting that email. I told you last night about my dad. I'm still scared to death of what would happen if you got that email. You go, well, you should do it because you love the Lord. Absolutely, and because I love the Lord, I have set precautions in place and taken things and parameters to keep me from messing up. Don't take your smartphone in the bathroom. First of all, that's just gross. I may ask to borrow it someday. I don't want to be near it if it's been with you in the bathroom. Put filters on your phones. Listen, if you're on your, you shouldn't be on the internet in your room at night. The door shut. You go, Pastor, you're silly. No, we're taking precautions. We're taking precautions. Don't allow yourself to be in situations where you can mess up. Fifthly, even when it was embarrassing, he ran. Notice in verse number 12, and she caught him by his garment. So one day in the natural process of time and the natural processes of things, he goes into the house to do his work, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. The clothes we wear are different from the clothes they would have wore. They would have wore undergarments and then a robe around it. And of course, that's part of the problem that got Joseph in this whole situation was his brother's jealousy over his coat of many colors that he was wearing. And so Joseph no doubt had the outward robe there, and he's working one day, and she comes in, and she's being seductive and trying to seduce him, and he's not having any of it. And the Bible says she caught him by his garment. So she catches him by his robe,
and she's pulling him towards her. She's possibly pulling him into a secluded area. And as she's doing so, Joseph's like, no, we can't do this. No, I'm not going to participate in this. And as that's happening, Joseph's robe begins to come off. I can't imagine the embarrassment of leaving your robe and running out of the palace in just your skivvies. That's embarrassing. Okay. I hope this isn't being recorded and this is just us guys and this will stay just between us, right? We all promise, hold up your two fingers. We all promise this is just between us. State championship game. State championship game my sophomore year. State championship game in basketball. I'm the first player off the bench. I'm not a starter. Because it's the state championship game, they're introducing everybody on the team, not just the starters. And so I realized that a little bit late. I didn't know they were going to do that. So they're calling everybody out and they're when they call their names. And everybody else, I was the only sophomore on the team. Everybody else had taken off their warm-ups. I was the only one that still had his warm-up pants on. I didn't want to look like a dork out in front of everybody, being the only one with my warm-up pants on. Everybody else had their warm-up pants off. And so I was in a bit of a hurry. And I stood up and I grabbed my warm-up pants and I jerked them off. I got a little bit more than my warm-up pants. Thankfully, I didn't grab everything. So I'm standing there in my skivvies, front of the world. I quickly grab my warm-up pants and pull them back up. When I do, my shorts roll up underneath. So now I've got my warm-up pants on and my shorts underneath kind of in this little... So I run to the locker room. And by run, because of the way my shorts are, I'm like waddling into the locker room. Jerk off my sweats, pull up my shorts, come running back out. And they had said my name twice. And my coach is like, where are you at? Everybody is dying laughing. That night, no one wanted to talk about a championship basketball game. They wanted to talk about something else. Perverts. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for Joseph to leave his robe and go running out. But it was worth it. Hear me. Look at me, please, with your eyes. But it was worth it. Young men, I don't know how to tell you, and decency won't allow me to give you details. But you'll be standing around with a group of other young men one time, and they'll be talking about how far they've gone and what they've done. And eventually the conversation will turn to you. And it, unfortunately, in our society today, it will be embarrassing for you to say, I've never done anything. I'm saving that for marriage. Not just the act of sex, but I'm saving all of it for marriage. You go, that shouldn't be embarrassing. It shouldn't be. I'm just telling you, because of our sinful flesh and because of the society we live in, it is very apt to be. But it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Young men, the immoral is like a credit card. Credit cards are handy, wonderful things. They allow you to enjoy something now and pay for it later. And the sexual outside of marriage is just like a credit card. Every charge you make on this side of marriage, you'll pay for on this side of marriage with interest. With interest. You go, well, I'm just going to have some fun. And then, no. You'll pay for it on that side of marriage. With interest. Joseph said, I don't care. I don't care what she thinks of me. I don't care what they think of me. I don't care about the situation and circumstance. I'm getting out of here. Listen, this morning, keep your eye on the bigger picture and what's right long term. What's right for God. Heard Brother Gaddis say often, one of the biggest mistakes we make is we give up what we want most for what we want right now. Three final thoughts and we're done. Thought number one, There was no applause for Joseph. Notice verse number 20 as he runs from this situation. Verse number 20. And Joseph's master took him and said, "Thank you for being a virtuous man. Thank you for not touching my wife. And here's your reward." Are you paying attention at all? Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. His reward for doing right was being put in prison. That's probably not going to happen for us. But if you think because you've fought temptation, there's going to be some huge reward immediately thereafter, there's not. Some girl begins to flirt with you and pursue with you, and you reject and you scorn that and scorn that and spurn it, and you turn away and you go away. Hey, listen, you're not going to walk into the other room and your youth group's going to be there clapping for you. You're not going to do that. For the most part, the victories you win in the areas of the sexual, no one will know about. No one will celebrate. You have to be mature enough and keep your eye on the big prize enough to know that even though no one's going to celebrate it and no one's going to congratulate you and no one's going to pat you on the back and most won't even know about it, you've got to do right anyhow. Secondly, staying pure angers those who don't. Verse number 14, "Then she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See how he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us." She's anger. Those who want to live an immoral life always get angry at those who want to live a moral life. Look at the rise, listen, the rise of the homosexual agenda and their issues and the anger with which they confront us. Because those who are immoral will always be angry at those that want to stay moral. Lastly, verse number 20, Joseph's cast into prison. Verse chapter number 41 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years." We know that Joseph was in prison for about 2 years, and I'm guessing it was maybe closer to 4 to 5. He's 30 years old when he gets out and he gets married. Even though maintaining his purity was tough, it was worth it. The time he had to fight to stay right was such a short time compared to the time he was married. He gets married at 30. He dies at 110. If his wife is alive that whole time, it's 80 years of marriage. 80 years of marriage. Young men, the time that God says no in your life is such a relatively short time compared to the time God says yes in your life when you're married. Don't mess up for a short-term thrill what God intended for you as long-term success. When I was a real little kid, we were missionaries to Austria. We were traveling the country. We were in Anaheim, California. We were getting to go to Disneyland. I was so excited. We were going to Disneyland. I was about maybe 7 years old, and I remember pulling up, and where we parked the RV, where we parked the motorhome, it was nighttime when we got there. You could see parts of Disneyland. You could see the Ferris wheel, and you could see different parts of the castle, and you could hear the fireworks going off. And if you got out of the motorhome, you could actually hear people laughing and cutting up on the other side of the fence. You could hear them enjoying it. And so I asked my mom and dad, I was like, "Let's go in now." And they said, "No, we're going in tomorrow." I said, "But Dad, I mean, we're right here. It's open. Let's go in now." And as a little boy, I kept kind of pestering my mom and dad. I kept saying, "I want to go in. I want to go in. I want to go in." And Dad, finally, my dad set me down and he goes, "All right, son, we can go in tonight for like the last half hour that the park is open. Or we can go in tomorrow and stay there for 15 hours. But we can't do both. What would you rather do?" And as bad as I wanted into that park, 15 hours tomorrow sounded way better than a half hour tonight. Guys, the time that you will be pursuing young ladies and God says no is such a short time compared to the time that you're married and God says yes. Don't mess up in the short term what God had for you in the long term. The question this morning, guys, is not what you want. The question is not what God wants. The question is, what do you want most? If you'll want most what God wants for you, I'll promise you, you'll never regret it. You'll never regret it.